Too often, student choice and voice is stifled in schools. Choice Literacy offers reliable resources from in-the-field teachers and literacy leaders who uplift choice and voice even with difficult circumstances, forced mandates, or demanding curriculum. Welcome to the Big Fresh Choice Literacy Podcast. I'm Ruth Ayers. Writing Connects Us by me, Ruth Ayers. My dental hygienist is a writer. She's been cleaning my teeth for several years, and each June and December, we chat about writing. Last summer, I wrote a little note and tied a bow around two of the recent books that influenced me as a writer: Big Magic, How to Live a Creative Life and Let Go of Your Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert, and The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse by Charlie Maxey. A few days later, Heidi sent me a text and we met at the local coffee shop. During our conversation, I asked, "Would you like to meet once a week and write in our notebooks? Instead of talking about writing, we'll write. We can share what we write if we want." "Sure," Heidi said. At the time, we were two strangers in a coffee shop, but soon I would learn that Heidi is always quick to say yes to a new adventure. We met in the park for many months. When the weather turned too cold to meet outside, we began checking in through text messages. Our routine is simple. We have a topic: repairs, mashed potatoes, or apples, and we set a timer for 10 minutes. We write until the timer stops. Sometimes we set it for another 10 minutes. Usually we pick another topic: hands, swimming, or headaches, and write for another 10 minutes. If we want, we read our writing. We don't give writerly advice. We just say the things that strike us, the images we imagine because of the way the words were stacked, and the things that makes us feel. Heidi crafts well. I like her stories. When she wrote about her best friend and the way she took ice-cold showers after swim practice to condition herself for visiting her grandma at a Wisconsin lake, I laughed and remembered the Monday lake days of my childhood. When she wrote about the way her stepdad sliced ice cream into slabs, I laughed and remembered the way my dad made the best chocolate shakes. And when she wrote about her mom's quick fade from Alzheimer's, I cried. It doesn't take long for stories to connect people. Heidi and I meet for a half hour once a week and write in our notebooks. In our rush of busy school days, let's not forget the power of writing in notebooks. We know how to navigate the pressures that stifle student choice and voice because our contributors are in the field and figuring out how to continue to honor student choice and voice. Each week, we publish 4 to 6 new features in our Classy Classroom content. This week, we focus on shared writing. Bitsy Parks is this month's featured contributor. She is a first grade teacher in Portland, Oregon. This week, she shares a new article called "Class Books Build Readers, Writers, and Community." I love the way Bitsy structured this article about class books because she shares an idea and then breaks it down into what students do as readers, what they do as writers, and how it builds community in her classroom. For example, in her class book, which is sometimes an infographic instead, "We Speak Other Languages," Bitsy guides us to understand that in this shared writing experience, students are working as writers by writing in their first or second language, working as readers by observing different languages and learning that written language can look different, and building community by recognizing students for their language assets and are building connections to others who speak the same language. We are building connections with families because families are involved in helping students write their speech bubble. Bitsy finds that students and their families usually feel honored that their home language is recognized and valued. Bitsy also has a course on the site called "The Gradual Release of the Primary Classroom Library." This is free to our members. Bitsy opens her first grade classroom for a close-up look at how she organizes and then gradually releases the library to students over days, weeks, and months. This course is full of lesson tips, strategies, and templates to help you plan and make choices for your own classroom library. In a new video, Haley Whitaker confers with a kindergartner and shows him the connections between talking, drawing, and text. And in an encore video from 2015, Mandy Robeck leads a shared writing session in kindergarten. In Tips for Creating Shared Writing Texts Online, Tammy Mulligan offers tips for supporting students' voices when creating shared writing in virtual settings. You may also be interested in Tammy's companion article about the way shared writing is her go-to strategy for teaching young learners online. It is called Making Something Together, Shared Writing Online. Tammy joined me for a conversation about shared writing in her first grade classroom. It's a conversation about so much more than the process of shared writing. We talk about honoring all that children know in order to teach into what they need to learn next. Tammy has the rare combination of a vast amount of knowledge about how children read and write, as well as a playful spirit who is committed to having fun with children. She said in our conversation, "Laughter is really important to learning." I hope you enjoy listening in as Tammy and I discuss shared writing and, more importantly, how to honor children's choice and voice. I'm happy to welcome Tammy Mulligan to the Big Fresh podcast. Tammy, you have been a longtime contributor to Choice Literacy, a longtime writer, a longtime teacher. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been in education, I think, for at least 25 years. And in that, I've had lots of different jobs as classroom teachers and a district administrator, and then also a staff developer. But most recently, I've been teaching first grade at a school that is on a military Air Force base. And so that's been exciting to be back in the classroom.
It's like the dream of everybody, right? We enter the profession and then our careers take these windy paths and then we get to go back to the classroom.
Yeah, I do love it. And I'm learning a ton back in the classroom and, you know, just getting so close to kids and having relationships with them and watching them grow has been very exciting.
You wrote an article called Tips for Shared Writing Online. And in the article, you open with this scene about working with emergent readers online and how it's hard to get enough text in their hands. Your solution is for them to write their own text through shared writing. One of the trademarks I've noticed about you is that whenever you see problems in your classroom, you turn to students to find the answer. Will you share with us more about your mindset and belief that the solution is always found in offering children more choice and voice?
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I do try and look to the kids to find the answer. And in general, I sort of stand on the shoulders of Debbie Miller and Kristen Mraz, and I just really think about what am I doing right now that kids could be doing for themselves. And so that often is sort of a guiding force that helps me to think about how can I open this up and give children more choice and thus more agency and ownership. So with writing, I think about when they can have topic choice and when what instrument they'll use to write with, a pen or a pencil, or and then even what kind of paper and choice. And so when you're online, it's hard to do those things, but I think we can go to them for the stories in their lives. And that's a wealth of joy that kids can read about and write about.
Yeah, and it's truly a question, no matter what the teaching situation, that what am I doing for kids that they can do themselves is a question we can ask all the time.
Yeah, it's a question I ask myself every day when I'm planning. Am I planning something where kids could be doing that for themselves and I'm doing too much of the work? And I just always think about that. Sometimes it gets me into trouble because sometimes the activity doesn't go as well as planned because I didn't scaffold it enough. But I think that's okay because I think there's lots of learning in the messiness of kids figuring things out.
And the flip side is probably true too, where you're not sure if they're going to be able to handle it. And yet they create this beautiful, it just goes in this beautiful way.
Right. Absolutely. They, more times than not, they absolutely surprise me in all the wonderful things they know and the way that they take things. And when things go awry, I think that's a good learning point for kids too, that, you know, things don't always work out and tomorrow's a new day and we'll try that in a different way.
Definitely. So in this online instruction, you're giving kids a chance to create some text during shared writing. And one of the tips that you offer is to keep shared writing short. Tell us more about the art of brevity.
Yes, I think whether we're online or in person, I think my kind of mantra is often quick and frequent, that some of these skills that children are learning, they're hard. And so when children get to practice it for just a couple of minutes, a couple of times a day, it makes it much easier and brings a lot more joy because they feel more success. When we keep pushing at something that's so hard and making children do so much of it, I think it takes out the joy. And I also find that when we keep it actually short, the texts are brief that they're writing. They can write a page to a text, not a whole text. They can write, you know, one sentence. Then we're revisiting it and they feel ownership over it. They feel like, oh, this is kind of fun. Oh, I got all that done. They begin to feel success. So I think this quick and frequent helps kids to practice things more. And I also think it just lets kids see that something that's hard for me, I don't have to just dig into continuously. I can do a little bit, take a break.
And that's true for all of us. When something's tough, if we can just do a little bit and feel good about it, then we want to go back and do it again and again.
Exactly. And I have to say, for technology, you know, technology and I don't always get along. And I have to say, when something breaks in the computer and I can't figure it out, I need to take a break, walk away. And 9 times out of 10, I come back to it and I can figure it out. But I think there's a lot to say with kids doing something for a little bit, taking a break and moving on.
So another piece of advice you offer is to choose your teaching point. And in the article you write, I know this teaching point before I begin the lesson. How do you know your teaching point?
That's a hard question. I was thinking a lot about how do I know my teaching point? I think I look at a few things. I think about the child's oral language. I think about what types of things the child talks about, both in terms of content and interest, but also how they construct their sentences. Are they learning English? Are they understanding how to make something sound right and make sense? So I build off of that, I think, first. And then I look at their writing and I think, you know, what's the best next step for this writer? Often, you know, are we looking at finger spacing? Are we looking at getting the first sound in a word? Are we looking at making my illustrations match? And then I'm also always looking at their knowledge of phonics, right? What's our next step? Are we thinking about the first sound in a word? Are we thinking about the vowel or the ending sound? And then I try to take my shared writing and focus it a bit so that if I know my teaching point is, let's say, for example, the final sound in a word, then I'm going to fill in lots of that other known information and really let the child focus on that one skill so they can practice it. And then we can move on from there and integrate other skills that they know.
Listening to you talk, Tammy, I was thinking about how there is so much information that we take in about kids. And sometimes it's not about getting just this perfect teaching point, but it's about doing some of the thinking that allows us to have a teaching point when we get ready to work with kids.
Yes, I think we need to step back and say, you know, what's the, you know, one thing I could teach this child that will help them to become more independent at this point in time, at this moment? And then I sort of work on that for a little bit, see if I'm, you know, in the right area and work on that and then move on from there. But I think if we try and teach too much, children end up frustrated by it.
That is definitely true. So you're suggesting that we create shared text individually during small group instruction and only creating one or two a week. When I was reading about it in the article, it made it feel so manageable. But I also can imagine myself getting really excited about something like the power of shared writing and wanting to do more than one or two a week. Will you talk about how does slowing down by creating one or two texts a week make it even more valuable?
We have a lot of teaching tools in our repertoire. And I think about what am I using at this point in time to help children? So, and I also need it to be exciting. And sometimes something new to kids is a bit exciting. So I tend to balance out how often I use shared reading, interactive writing, whole class or even small group book club discussions, how often we learn a new song or poem, and even balance it with meeting. Each Monday, my kids meet someone new, often a figure in, you know, in our world who's done something significant. And I feel like I try to balance all those things so that children, there's some predictability to it, but they also see that language and writing, they all go together, and we look at them in different ways. And so I'm definitely trying to balance encoding and decoding. I just think there's this power in looking at something as a reader and then flipping it and looking at it as a writer and then going back and seeing it as a reader and flipping back and forth. And, oh, look, you know, that comes up when we're learning a new song, or, oh, look, it's in this poem. Like, I think it's flipping something throughout those pieces that helps kids to understand something from different perspectives.
And then when they begin seeing it all throughout the day, all throughout their lives as readers and writers, then we begin to see kids self-monitoring and they're approximating. And in your article, you write that you're looking for the bigger goals of helping children self-monitor and celebrate approximation.
I'm looking for children to see that what's right about what they've done and to notice what they've done. So instead of saying when they're writing and something doesn't, you know, come out completely correct, I will say, so what's right about what you did? And I want children to always notice what's right about what they did, and then they can change the next step. But I think that helps them to notice all the things that they do know, because they're learning a ton and it's a lot to learn. And so we want them, if I think people do better when they build on something positive versus being worried about what we don't know.
So you finish writing the text together and then you share it together. You read it together with the student when it's finished. And you wrote, often kids choose the kind of voice we use to reread. Students decide whether it be a scary voice, a whispery voice, or a type of voice the kids create. Why is this powerful for students as readers and writers?
I think, you know, laughter is really important in learning, and I want kids to find joy in reading and writing. And I actually had one kid today say, Mrs. Mulligan, I think I actually like to write. And I think that's what I'm looking for, that eventually that to find what's funny in this or to find the laughter in it. And I think kids choosing the kind of voice, number one, gives them agency and power, and we can be a little bit silly. And honestly, it lets them reread the text a lot. Right? If they read it in a scary voice and then a whispery voice, they actually know the text more. And often the interactive writing texts we're creating are a tad higher than what they could read independently. But because those words came out of their mouths and their ideas, they tend to be able to read it harder text. And thus rereading it just puts all those sight words and phonics concepts right into them without, they really don't even know it.
Because they're just having a good time reading the text.
Right. And we're laughing. And that's what I think they need to do.
The article you write is just filled with pieces of advice to make shared writing happen. The first tip that you offer is find an audience. And then you close the article with get the writing in kids' hands virtually and physically. I love the way your shared writing expands the audience beyond the classroom. How do you help young students share their writing with friends and family?
So it's tricky, especially if we're in a, you know, a digital remote world right now. But one of the ways we talk about is I say, who are we writing this for? And often it's a gift. You know, is it a gift for someone in their family? Is it a neighbor? Is it someone in their life? Is it a text to make their little sister laugh? And who are we writing this for? Who are you going to read this to? And so that helps them to, if they know that, then they're excited about writing it. Then really all I'm doing is opening up a blank, you know, Word doc and typing a bit as they're writing. And then they're writing some of it on a whiteboard or piece of paper that they have if it's digital. If not, if we're in the classroom, we're sharing the pen. But after that, I'm simply taking a photo of it and we're emailing it and families are printing it out and they're just gluing it into a notebook. And that way the kids can read and reread that. In person, it's kind of the same process. They're gluing it into a notebook of all these collections. And it doesn't just include their interactive writing. It includes the shared readings we've done. It includes the poems and the songs. And so it's this book of just lots of things that the child can read and write that are a little bit harder, but they've heard them so much. And you know, one child said to me, I really want to take this book with me when school's over. Like they're just excited about all these texts that they can read and that they've had fun creating.
Tammy, it's been so great to listen to you talk a little bit more about shared writing and making this concept that a lot of people are familiar with in their classrooms, but making it possible when we're teaching and learning virtually also. What's your last bit of advice for offering children more choice and voice in shared writing?
Listening to what kids have to say. And as they're telling you these stories about, you know, what happened to them in the morning, or, you know, their coat got too wet at recess, or they couldn't find a sock this morning, any of those stories, I often say, you know, that would be great to write about, whether that's at writing workshop or interactive writing. We could make a book about that. Or who would we give that to? I think that's a big thing that I do that helps kids to remember those ideas. And whether we write about it or not is, I think, less important. I think what's important is that they're seeing that the things that are around them and the stories of their lives are worthy of writing down.
It's such great advice that you offer, Tammy. I'm really glad that you took some time to join us and talk a little bit more on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I've loved it.
Our contributors are listening and looking hard for those spontaneous, teachable moments when they can move a child forward as a reader and writer. Each week, we offer free articles to empower all educators to do the same. I hope you'll join the Choice Literacy Book Club. Christy Rush Levine selected an Own Voices middle grade fantasy novel, The Barren Grounds by David A. Robertson, for the February read. Be involved by following the hashtag Choice Literacy Book Club. Also, check out the link in the show notes because teachers from across the globe are sharing their thoughts about The Barren Grounds. This week, we shared a playlist inspired by The Barren Grounds. Join in with the hashtag Choice Literacy Book Club. In using shared writing to build argument skills, Sherry Frost explains the power of shared writing in intermediate classrooms, especially for struggling learners. Debbie Miller's wonderful essay titled Putting Ourselves in Our Teaching is great to read when you're feeling rushed and want to hit the pause button to remind yourself of what really matters in the classroom. First published in 2012, this is an article that is needed today. Our Leaders Lounge is dedicated to literacy coaches and school leaders, and you will find 2 to 4 additional new features each week. In Insight Before PD, Stella Vialba advises how professional development planning at a new site begins with lots of questions and observations. In this week's Coaching Minute, Jen Court explains how she works side by side with teachers. Jennifer Gonzalez has wise advice on how to teach when everyone is scattered on her blog, The Cult of Pedagogy. In a new course, Matt Renwick guides instructional leaders to implement and strengthen instructional literacy walks. Through literacy walks, leaders seek out promising practices, note and name them during formative visits, and lead coaching conversations with teachers. The outcome is not only school improvement, especially in literacy, but also a community of learners who engage in continuous improvement as a natural stance. We know the pressure that can come from curriculum mandates, so Choice Literacy is a proudly independent community. We are not associated with any commercial publisher. We don't recommend packaged or scripted programs. You can trust our content because it is created by people just like you, educators who show up to school each day and are enamored by students. You can find links to all of the articles discussed in the show notes, or sign up for the Big Fresh newsletter so you can have the links delivered directly to your inbox. Keep offering choice and voice to students in what they read and write, because everyone deserves for their choice and voice to be valued. Shine on, everyone.